praise God. I'm blessed by what Melissa had to say tonight. You know, I live with a very peaceful man and a very wise man too. And occasionally he'll see me starting to get worked up about something. I'll get in the flesh and I start to think about a problem or think about a little thing. And he'll go, Catherine, let's get a, you know, basically I'll paraphrase. Basically say, it's all little stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, let's get a God perspective. And in the light of him, how much does this really trouble you? Yeah. Absolutely. How ridiculous. And yet that's the trap of the enemy. To try and get us focused on the problems and the issues and the hassles. And then we do lose our peace. Our peace is given to us by God, and it's not for us to give away. And the only way we continue to walk in peace is by continuing to look at him. Hallelujah. He keeps us in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed on him, not on issues and problems and worries and stresses. Yet sometimes I think we are a little bit slow learners. But God has mercy, and he continually comes and tries to lift your head. Look up, seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added. Your Father knows what you have need of. And he's very, very good at providing. You know, God is very, very good at taking care of things. He is a God of justice. His justice is way beyond anything we could imagine. He blesses and he brings recompense when you don't deserve it. If you bring him ashes and you've made the mess and you humble yourself, you say, ashes, God, mess. And you come in faith, believing that you can exchange it for beauty. God comes and pours out his love, pours out his restoration, his blessing. And the humble will get help if you will humble yourself and give yourself to him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear what the Spirit's saying tonight. Open our hearts and change us, Lord. Help us. Oh God, we need you. Spirit of God, fill my mouth tonight and bring words of blessing and healing, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's have a look here at John chapter 16. This is good. Verse 7. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby, I like the Amplified in this, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. I like that. And when he comes, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God and about judgment. This is what he's doing right now. About sin, because they do not believe in me, trust in, rely on, and adhere to me. About righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God, because I go to my Father and he'll see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler, the evil genius prince of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned and sentenced already is passed upon him. I have still many things to say to you, but you know, I'm not able to bear them or take them upon you now or grasp them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak on his own message, on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that's been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me because he will take of what is mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when he said, when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal it to you. Hallelujah. Jesus speaking of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the desire of God that we would be in close fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Close fellowship with God, the Holy Ghost. God who is holy and just and righteous. That's why Jesus had to die. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He had to die so that we could have our sins put upon him, that he could pay the price for our sin, that we could also be crucified with him, that we could be dead in Christ and raised with him. Hallelujah. He did the hard part. And so that we could forever be with him, that we could receive by faith righteousness that comes from God. And it is by faith, by grace we say, through faith. We must have faith to believe that he has forgiven us. But then we also are told that because Jesus was going and the example of how to live holy and righteous lives was going, the Holy Spirit would teach us and lead us and convict us and demonstrate to us righteousness. Hallelujah. That he'd convict the world of sin so that we'd hear his voice. And about judgment. About judgment. What the judgment of God that the Holy Spirit is going to that is convicting and convincing and demonstrating to the world is that judgment has been passed on the evil one and that all the work of the enemy has been condemned and sentenced, and the Holy Ghost will convince your heart as you walk in close fellowship with him that he has been defeated and that the greater one lives inside of you. That as you speak, you have authority over all the work of the enemy because he convinces you. He speaks to you and reveals the truth to you that Satan is defeated, that he is already condemned, that he has already had judgment passed on him, and you now are seated above him in heavenly places, and all things are placed under your feet. This is the job of the Holy Spirit, who wants to walk in close fellowship with us. But you know, to walk in close fellowship with God requires, like every other promise in the Bible, that we must receive that promise by faith. Amen. Faith and patience, they inherited the promises, right?
Amen.
We need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, the things that the Lord says that the Holy Ghost will teach us. We need to receive those things by faith. It says here that he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. Now that's something you can receive if you will go to him and by faith and patience receive it. If you'll go to him and you'll ask, God will speak. But if you'll incline your ear and listen, you will hear. And God will begin to tell you things to come. I remember when I first started reading about William Branham. Anybody read any of William Branham's stuff? Went back in the early days when he was ministering. Amazing things would happen, astonishing, astounding healings. And he would just demonstrate the power of God by getting someone to stand up and he'd tell them where they lived, what their address was, who their brothers were, what happened in this accident to such and such and such and such, and now God was going to heal them, and then they would be dramatically and wonderfully healed. And I read that he would hear before he got to the meeting. And God would play it out before him, and he'd see already before the meeting who was going to be healed. Wow. And so I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask. Why not? I've got the same spirit. So I began to wait on God and ask. And when I'd ask in expectation, which is holy faith. I began to ask in faith, believing that he would tell me. And he would begin to tell me. And I remember the very first night that it happened here at the Glory Gathering. Judy, who's not here tonight, had one leg shorter than the other. And the Lord, Debbie was here, hallelujah. And the Lord had shown me that there was a lady and that she had one leg shorter than the other. And that I said, okay, Lord, and how's it going to happen? And I saw that she would come and I would pray and she would be slain in the spirit. And then I'd get down on the ground and put my hand on her ankles and one leg would grow. And this is what I saw before I got to the meeting. And because I saw a skirt, I knew it was a woman in the vision, but I didn't have the confidence to say that there's a woman here. I just said there's a person here who has one leg shorter than the other. And anyway, Judy came forward, and I went, yes, it's a woman. Hallelujah. And then I prayed for her, and she was slain in the spirit. And I went, yes, yes, all according to plan. This is good. And so I knew what to do next. I got down, I laid hands on her ankles, and her leg grew. Hallelujah. And Judy, who used to be known as the woman who walked on the golf course with a limp, now is completely and wholly healed of that her leg grew. And that taught me something. I thought, I have not because I ask not. I don't inherit some of these promises that the Holy Ghost has been given to me to have because I am lacking faith and patience. Often our lives are too busy to bother asking God. The Bible says that you shouldn't even say, next year we're going to do this or we're going to do that, but you should say, the Lord, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. And but you know, you also need to be asking the Lord, is it your will? Do you want me to do this or that? And he'll begin to speak to you if you will incline your ear to listen. If you'll pray in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I get confused and I wonder, is it me or is it God? Is it me or is it God? But as I begin to pray in tongues, after a little while, I sense the Spirit of truth just make it crystal clear whether it's me or whether it's God. And he'll show me because he is the Spirit of truth. And by faith, as I'm praying in tongues, my faith is believing that the Spirit of truth will guide me into all truth. Hallelujah. You know, everything is done by faith. When I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, when I'm praying in tongues, I'm connecting my faith with the Word of God, which says, he who prays in an unknown tongue, she who prays in an unknown tongue, edifies themselves. So I'm believing as I'm praying, I'm being edified. I'm being strengthened. Oh, I like this praying in tongues. And I receive that edification. I receive that strengthening because my faith is connecting with the promise of God. I began to think, why don't we ask more about what's to come? I should ask about my days. But you know, very often, though I spent time, you know, praying and reading the Word, I forget to ask, Lord, what are you going to do today? What do you want to do? What do you want to show me today? Show me something about today, Holy Spirit. Show me the things to come. Prepare me. Because when I do that, divine appointments are already set up. I begin to have dreams. I have dreams about somebody ringing and what's going to happen when they ring, and then I wake up and they ring up, and it all, I know what to do because he's prepared me in advance. You think, well, that sounds spooky. No, that's the Holy Ghost. This is signs and wonders and miracles. You are not designed to walk unaided, but you are designed to walk in close fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Close fellowship. Oh, it's very good. Proverbs says, if you'll acknowledge him in all of your ways, he will make your path straight. But faith and patience is required to acknowledge God. Many people just don't have the patience to get an answer from God about stuff. They just rush in headlong, make decisions, I'm going to do this and that, and then they find themselves in a mess. Who's been there? But if we'll take time. You know, I've found, as I've been walking with the Holy Spirit, he's been changing my personality. I'm so much more peaceful than I ever was before. The peace of God transcends my heart and mind. I don't feel the need for nervous chatter. You know, I used to be a very insecure person, and when I'd get around somebody, I'd just talk, because I was just nervous and just would talk. I've been married to a wonderfully peaceful man, hallelujah, and that is had a wonderful calming influence on me, but nothing like the influence that the Holy Ghost has had upon me. I knew that in many words, where there's many words, sin's not absent, and I'd also always be getting myself into trouble. I'd get in the car on the way home and say, what did I say that I shouldn't have said? But as I've been, by faith, walking in close fellowship with the Holy Ghost, I don't feel the need to ask, was I all right? Do you think they liked me? I know, of course they like me. And whether they do or not, it doesn't matter because you like me. I walk with a confidence now. I walk with a peace that I find myself, praise God, increasingly up for the peace of God guards my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I love what I do, praise God, because my work enables me to focus on God. But you know what? Your work, in everything that you do, God says, you acknowledge me in all of your ways, I will make your path straight. You can be involved in your work and have the sense of the presence of God around you 24/7. That the arms of God are around you. You can be asking him questions all the time. The fact is, though, we simply often neglect him. And though we are entitled by the grace of God to close fellowship, often we just have a little bit of fellowship. Though he'll never leave us or forsake us, he wants to be in close fellowship with you, whispering to you, telling you things and secrets. You know, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're praying the mysteries of God. And the mysteries of God are being revealed to your spirit. Hallelujah. And you can pray as you're praying in tongues, pray for the interpretation. He speaks in an unknown tongue, let him pray that he may interpret. And as I'm praying in the spirit, I'm looking, expecting God to show me what he's saying. And he'll show me what he's doing. And I'll just be able to agree in my mind with what he's praying through me with my mouth. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here? It's fantastic. Talk about multitasking. You got the Holy Ghost praying through you. You're agreeing in your mind with what God's saying. He's showing you what's happening. And it's like, now you understand why we pray in tongues, the way we do it at prayer meetings. Because I want you to experience this. I want you to become hooked.
Amen.
To the divine lifeline. And he is my lifeline. If I feel down, or if I feel struggling, I have faith that the word says he edifies me and strengthens me. So I get up and I just open my mouth, and by faith, Shaka Mahasalia, Monkura Masalia, Shiki, I believe for the Holy Ghost to speak through me, to pray according to his will, exactly what he wants to do. He goes before me and lays the path. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He showed me one day, and I've told this story here before, how as I was praying, a vision of the Lord just laying the path in front of me, putting brick by brick as I was praying in the Spirit. And that's what we're doing when we're praying in the Holy Ghost. He's laying the path in front of us. He's making the way straight. And if you'll ask by faith, he'll tell you what's going on. Because he shares his secrets with his friends. So that might not just be for everybody, but you know what? The Bible says, earnestly desire the greater gifts, that you may prophesy. God wants you to prophesy to yourself. Some of the best prophetic words that I've had are ones that God has given me direct. When God has spoken to me in my quiet time and I've written it down in my journal, I can go back at the date and the time and say, look what you said, God. And see, and he comes through and he accomplishes that which he reveals to our hearts. God wants to be in close fellowship with you. Amen?
Amen.
Flip over with me to 1 Peter. Hallelujah. That's why daily we have to come in humility. It takes humility to listen, to know that you need God. An arrogant person, one who walks in pride, thinks that they can just do it in their own strength. I'll just have my way and I'll just do what I want to do and I'll just ask God when I need something. And, you know, that's the relationship we have. I believe in God and that's good, but I know what I'm doing and I'm just going to do it. And that's arrogance and pride. And that is a person that God will resist, and he will not share his secrets with you, because you are not by faith and patience receiving them. You're not even asking for them. But humility will come to God and ask and say, God, you're smarter than me. Humility says, your ways are higher than my ways and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So I humble myself and say, God, show me your ways. The Bible says the humble, he will teach his ways. Amen? Have a look here. It's a wonderful chapter on the importance of for pastors and for those in the flock, and the importance, the charge that God gives us with that responsibility. But I'll start here in verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, because the church is like an army. God does have people that he puts in authority, and we need to learn to submit and not jostle. Amen? Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding yourself to their counsel. Clothe, apron yourselves, all of you, with humility. That means leaders and people alike, with humility as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful. And he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them, but gives grace, favor, and blessing to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Isn't that beautiful? He cares about you watchfully. He's watching you. He's watching you when you're getting stressed out about this or that. And he says, listen to my voice. And he's waiting to speak to you, but only if you will incline your ear to him. Only if by faith and patience you will come with expectation that you will hear from him, will you receive. If you go, okay, I'm going to wait on God. I'm waiting. Speak to me, God. Come on. You're less likely to hear. But you need to come with faith and patience that he's expecting. I sent out on the email this week, and it's on the newsletter there, a little song by Ruth Heflin. Someone grab me a newsletter, I'll read it to you. Look to see, it says. If you've never seen into the realm of the Spirit, believe to see. As you praise and worship, look to see. Look to see the face of the Lord. Look to see his glory. Look to see his throne. Look to see the angels around about the throne. Look to see that which he desires to reveal unto you. And don't let a day go by without looking to see. If you'll do this, you'll come to the place that never a day goes by without you seeing into the realm of the Spirit. As you praise and worship, expect to see the Lord. Amen. See him in all his power and glory. Then go further. Expect to see other things as well. Looking to see is an act of faith. Believe to see and then look to see. Look to see what the Lord has to show you. Look to see what the Lord has to say to you. Look to see the voice that speaks with you. Turn and look into his face. See the Lord. See him in all his glory. See his beauty. Look into his eyes. I don't know if you know of Ruth Heflin, who wrote the book Glory. It touched all the nations of the earth, literally went to all the nations of the earth with the joy of the Lord, with the worship of God. And brought many, many to the kingdom of God. But you know, there's a real key there. And as I was preparing this message, a friend in America sent that through to me. And it was just a confirmation, you know, that if we will by faith, when we are asking, expect to hear the voice of God, expect to see what he is going to do, we will see it.
Amen?
Amen? We need to look to see and expect and then go further. When I was first starting to learn to prophesy, I was a very conservative Christian and I was very, very insistent. I don't want to have anything that's not of God, you know. God began to give me visions and I get excited about the vision. And then so one day we were in a meeting and they said, pray for the person beside you. And I got a vision about this person and I shared what I believed the Lord was saying. And then somebody else walked into the meeting and they prayed for the person and I heard them and they prayed exactly the same thing as me, only this much more. And I stopped them afterwards and I said, you saw the same thing as me. You didn't hear what I said. It must be God that you said this much more. How did you do that? And he said, oh, I just asked. I thought, oh, that's a good idea. vision. And so I'd get a vision. Woohoo! He'd get a vision, he'd expect a vision, and then he'd look to see more. And Daniel said, in the book of Daniel, as you read the revelation of Daniel, and the amazing things that God showed him, it says there that Daniel looked and kept on looking. And I looked and kept on looking. And I looked some more. And I looked and I looked. The more you will look, the more time you'll come in with patience, the more God will show you. It's very exciting. We sometimes get frustrated. Oh, why are we just at this level? Why are we at this level? You are at whatever level you want to be with God. You are as close to Him as you want to be. Do you believe that? Because if you will take time, you know, you might not have 3 hours to set aside. I know there are only so many hours in a day. As a mum, when I had the young children, it was like impossible to get large lengths of time. I'd stay up at night after everyone had gone to bed, but if I did that too often, I'd just be a wreck because I wouldn't get enough sleep. But I found that I had to just take the time when I could get it. I'd have a snippet here, I'd have half an hour here. But I found that whatever time that I did have, if I came with an expectation that God was going to strengthen me, because His Word says those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If I came to Him and I expected, as I waited on Him and prayed in the Holy Spirit, that He would reveal to me the things and the secrets that He wanted to share with me, and I looked to see it, and I got my pen ready, I'm ready, God, speak to me, He would give it to me. And you know, we need to make the most of every moment that we have. You don't need to have, you know, 6 or 8 hours a day, though it's really, really nice when you do get it. And I love it. And I am a presence of God junkie. I just love to be in the presence of God. I like it better than anything else. I like it better than socializing. I like it better than shopping. I like it better than anything else. Some of the women know what I'm talking about. I do. It's like the other stuff is just totally lost any appeal. It's like I'll go out if I have to. And then I've just got to get back and close the door. But I praise God. God will send you on assignments, and He will cause you to, if you listen to Him, He'll cause your life to become so much more organized than you could ever imagine. See, a lot of the stuff we do, we don't need to do. A lot of the stuff we do is simply filler. It's busyness that is not ordained by God. It's good works, perhaps, but not necessarily works that have been set up by God. And that's what this reformation, this shaking that's going on in the church is doing. It's getting people to realize that your life is not your own. And if you run it on your own, it's going to just be this at this level. But if you give your life to Christ, if you give your heart and your plans and everything to Him, He will make your path straight. He will tell you what to do, what not to do. We need to acknowledge God. We need to stop saying yes to everything and saying, Lord, what do you want to do? And expecting right then and there to receive an answer. You know, you don't even have to think, well, I'll go and when I have my quiet time, I'll ask God about that. You can ask Him right where you are. Lord, what do you want? Do you want? And then He'll give you the peace of God. You'll be led with peace. And the more that you do that, the more acquainted you'll become with His voice. Amen. I give the example sometimes. It's like a bride and a bridegroom, or a wife and her husband. If you've ever seen someone ballroom dancing, you know that only one person can lead. Otherwise, you trip up in each other's feet. And it's the husband, generally, who will lead the dance, right? And the woman will submit and follow the husband's lead. If you're a woman's liver, I'm sorry. I just like that. I think that's good. And it's a God picture, you know, where He is the heavenly husband and we as the bride need to submit to His leading. Sometimes I think women have it a little bit easier than men in this area, because if you've been raised in a Christian household, you understand the principle of submission. But you know, male or female, you need to submit to the heavenly bridegroom. You need to submit to your head. And as you do that, you'll even begin to know where He's going to go next. And He'll show you. You'll just, you come to the place where it'll be happening so fast that you don't have to stop and ask every time. You know, because you'll be positioning yourself in a constant position of asking and looking and expecting. When I'm ministering, the Lord is teaching me, I don't have to stop what I'm saying and just ask God. I'm continually asking, where do you want to go next? With the way I position myself. And the eye of God leads us, because he says that I will guide you with my eye, not with a bit and bridle. He says he wants to bring you to the place where he'll just look where the next place to go, and you'll be so attuned to him to just go wherever he's looking, because your eyes will be enlightened to what he's looking at. Your eyes will be seeing what is to come, and you'll be cooperating with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the faster you do this, the more quickly you become attuned to his voice, the more beautiful the dance, and the faster that he can take you. Amen? And the better the work of God will be, and the more fruitful your life will be. Your life is not meant to be dreary. It's not meant to be survived. The Holy Spirit is given that you would have that conviction in your heart that he has triumphed over everything, and that greater is he that is in you. He comes and he says that he will demonstrate to the world this judgment of the enemy, and he'll demonstrate that through your life by confirming his word with signs, wonders, and miracles. I love the story of Philip. You know, the Lord took him and he came across a eunuch, and the Lord had shared with him what was going to happen. And so he saw the eunuch, and the Lord said, do this. Now, I don't think Philip was stopping to get on his knees and say, what do you want me to do now? But he was attuned, ready, questioning, ready, what do you want me to do now, God? And God would speak and say, go and go beside that chariot. And he'd preach the gospel of Christ. And then the man was baptized in the water there, and as he was baptized, Philip was taken to the next place. Well, that man was in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that's the same Holy Spirit that I'm in close fellowship with, and that you are called to be in close fellowship. And it makes my heart cry, close still. Oh God, I want my life hidden with you. I thank you that it is, Lord. And I choose, Father, to fix my mind on you, on things that are above. Because if you'll do that, you'll continually have the plan laid out before you. You'll know what's going on. If you've ever felt out of the loop, you know what it feels like. You're like, oh, I don't know what's going on, but those that are in the loop are generally those that are around all the time and knowing what's going on. You know, you know what I'm talking about? And if they're continually having fellowship, let's say at work, somebody just seems to be in the loop. Well, they're the people that, you know, at every coffee break and every function and after work, they're fellowshipping. They're in the loop. They're in every meeting. They're in there. But God wants us to be in the loop, in the house, all the time, knowing what's going on, instead of visiting him occasionally. Faith and patience, and you will inherit this amazing promise that the Spirit of God will lead you, guide you into all the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He will guide you into Jesus, into God, so that you are one with him, so that when you walk in the world, you are as Christ is, so are we in this world. He'll guide you into all the truth that is he loves you and adores you, the truth that he just likes you, likes to be around you. It's the Holy Spirit that will do that. That's why we pray, as we pray for you, the leaders are all praying, Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, that you'd be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that you would come to know together with all the saints what is the height, the depth, the breath, the love of God that passes knowledge. It's the Spirit of God that will guide you into all the truth. God, who is love, He will guide you into this revelation of love that passes knowledge. He will guide you into God Himself, so that you are absolutely always in the loop. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, I pray that You give us ears to hear what You're saying. Father, our heart's desire, Lord, is for more of You, God. But God, we don't want to live lives like the way we've lived anymore, God. Today and tomorrow, God, and the next day, and from this day forward, God, it's our desire that our lives would be hidden with You. Lord, we choose to humble ourselves, and we ask that You'd forgive us for presumption, oh God. Father, I ask that You'd forgive us, Lord, for just taking steps without acknowledging You, for boastfully deciding what we're going to do and just stepping out and doing it without acknowledging that ours is not the choice to make, that You are our God, that our lives belong to You, they've been bought with a precious price, and that You who love us know better and You know what's best for us. Lord, help us. Give us wisdom, Lord. Help us to understand Your ways and Your truths. We humble ourselves and we ask You for Your forgiveness. Lord, we repent of our ways. We repent, oh God, of using You, oh God. We repent, oh God, and we desire, Lord, that You would be God. You would be Lord over our lives, oh God, that we would belong to You, Jesus, wholly and solely. Have Your way in us, oh God. Teach us Your ways. Help us to look to see. Oh God, help us to look to see You and to find You. Help us to search Your word and be fed. Help us, oh God, as we pray in the Spirit, Lord, to be by faith receiving Your strength, receiving what You have to say. Help us to have ears to hear what You're speaking to us. Speak to us. Show us things to come, oh God, I pray. In Jesus' name, everybody said.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Now, I believe tonight there's some people here. You need to make a decision. And that is not to just believe in God, but to give your life to Him. You might believe in God, but the Bible says even the devils believe in God, and they're certainly not going to heaven. They believe in His name and they shudder. But unless you will give your life to Him, unless you will choose to lose your life to find His, you will never have eternal life. Your life must be given over to God. And as you do that, God's desires for you are higher and better than any desires you could have for yourself. In Him, you will find fullness of joy. You will begin to move and live and do what you are made to do. But you need to give your life to Christ. And Jesus said that if you will acknowledge Me before men, I will acknowledge you before My Father who is in heaven. So right now, if you say, I want to give my life to Christ, I want today to be a line drawn in the sand where my life is no longer going to be lived by me, but it's going to be lived for God. I'm going to give my life to Christ tonight. I want you to raise your hand and I want to pray for you. Is anybody here that says, I want to give my life to Christ tonight?